Coleman looking to grab it. Dano trying to center it. Knocking it away. Yadigord. He clears it. He clears it. I don't think this is going to be an icing. No. 3 seconds left. Petrie, a final shot. The Lightning have done it. They have done it.
They have
gone back to back for the second year in a row.
Wow.
They have won the Stanley Cup.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Hoser's Panel. We are live. We are back. It is episode 29 this week. I'm here with Mike and Tay, and I'm Tyler Croakman, T. Croaks. We got some pretty big news. I think Tay's got an announcement for us.
Oh, I don't got it. Everybody at this point has to know, but man, the Lightning have won the Stanley Cup. Back-to-back years, I am so fired up. You guys have no idea. It's just unbelievable. Last year they won the cup and I was standing in my mother's living room and I watched the call and I was like, oh, fuck yeah, I'm going to remember this for the rest of my life. I know exactly where I am. Like, this is it. I watched my team win the Stanley Cup. Fuck yeah. I mean, there's no fans. It's not that meaningful, but like, it's awesome. Fucking let's go. And now this year, completely different place, fans in the building. Honestly, I probably won't remember it in a year from now. I was a little tipsy. Super excited, and it just makes last year's less memorable, but the whole thing combined is just, it's so exciting, man. This team, I think you can really start to throw out the word dynasty. These guys are amazing. It was kind of their last hurrah. They've got, a lot of cap issues coming up. $18 million over the cap in the playoffs this year, but fucking, it was great to see. They really deserved it. Vasilevsky, Conn Smythe winner, carried it over the top. Well deserved. Fuck, I'm fired up, boys. I'm fired up.
It was wicked, man. Beers were definitely consumed last night.
Oh yeah.
Fucking right, yeah. Steve. Fucking yeah. Right, Steve.
Man, that is the best part. Like, every year somebody wins the Stanley Cup and you get to just kind of like watch the shenanigans that happen after, and like all these guys get fucking dickered, and it's so funny because it's like these personalities that you watch every year. And for me, watching Tampa Bay like get into it, like fucking Kucherov is the man. He's a little shithead, and on the ice you fucking hate him. Like, even for myself as a fan, I hate him. He's so good, but he's always grumpy. And then as soon as he wins, he's just a shit show, and it's so fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely dynasty for sure now. Like, two cups back to back almost does that enough. But then you add in another cup final, and yeah. I mean, how can you argue it?
I mean, and those are two Stanley Cups to follow up. By what was that record in that season? That unreal season they had.
Oh, oh yeah, like 60-20 or something like that.
Yeah, like let alone the playoff success. Yeah,
they tied the best season of all time, I believe. Was it the Montreal Canadiens way back in the day? But it was somebody, and they tied it. So I was like, you know, it puts them right up there with a crazy-ass team. Gets up first round, you start to doubt it. But then they come back, and they squash all the doubts with two back-to-back Stanley Cups. One without fans, and just so fitting that they go 5 games just to be at home and win it with the
Barn. It was the Red Wings, right?
Shit, was
had
it?
Like the best. Yeah, I think so.
I have no idea.
I'll get
I can't remember.
Producer we'll Tim.
Anyways, doesn't matter. It's so true. Like, they're just another level of team. And every year they surprise me. Honestly, going into this playoffs, like, I was like, oh no, Florida's gonna beat them in the first round because they look so shit against them at the end of the year. And they surprised me, which is awesome. I hate going into it knowing like, oh, like here we go. Like, they're just gonna win again. And they're gonna win. I mean, it's a blessing and a curse, but. Yeah, it's fucking sweet, man. It doesn't feel real. It's hard to put in words. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, man, I can't imagine, straight up. It was sick, though. The boys, I love seeing Stammer, man, with the cup walking into the room. The big wait before he walks in.
Yeah.
And then just getting, like, sprayed when he gets in there. Oh, fucking love great. It, man. Yeah, that's a good sight to see.
And good for him, too, right? Like, because he only played, 2.5 minutes last playoffs, or last year, so... So yeah, actually getting to be a part of it this year is like, it means so much more to him, I'm assuming. And especially now winning it in front of their fans as well. It's the first time the Cup's actually been won in front of the home fans since 2015. So it's been a few years.
Yeah. Obviously, like, their main goal is to win, right? Like, they want to win. They want to show off to the crowd. They want to show off to their families. And they didn't get to do that last year in the way that maybe they would have seen or they could have done this year. So, yeah, it's just I'm so happy for all of them. I think, like, the entire roster was there from last year. And then you just add in guys like Ross Colton and David Savard, who, like, weren't necessarily there last year to play a bigger role. And, yeah, it's great, man. I love it. Oh, fucking Patty Maroon. We didn't talk about Patty Maroon yet.
Not yet.
Three-peat.
Yeah, that's nuts.
That's his third cup in a row. What the fuck, man? That's incredible. I think he signed one more year with Tampa, too. So could he go four in a row? Who knows? That's fucked.
He's the, I think it said, first guy to win back-to-back-to-back cups with at least two teams since the 1960s.
Yeah.
Can't tell you the guy, but.
No. Probably a fourth liner. The other guy in the 60s that won back-to-back-to-back cups
with
two teams.
Probably just floating.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want him. Just keeps getting on the winning teams.
Yeah, that's the recipe, man. You sign Patty Maroon.
You just sneak in. You just sneak in and then go like, I was on the Stanley Cup team. Someone takes you. You know?
Yeah.
Have those couple attributes, those couple traits, and you're good.
Oh, no way. If you just search Tampa Bay Lightning on like Google, it'll bring up their front page and then fireworks will just start going off. It's wild.
It's clacking. Type in Tampa Bay Lightning.
Sorry.
Oh, dude, full screen on Google. That's wicked.
Yeah.
I love that. You can keep launching them. Hey, Tate, yeah, you can do this all day, man.
I might. I might just sit here and let the fireworks go.
We're just going to hear it going the whole time. Yeah, and then I was saying about Tampa. That's funny. Wicked. That's a new one.
Yeah. I was trying to get to double check the Patty Maroon thing, and fireworks just started coming up.
Did you double check it? Because I'm not 100%.
Yeah, he does have 1 year left.
Okay,
nailed
cool.
Wicked.
Nice. Yeah. Fucking, I might sit there all day and just play with the fireworks now. That's fun.
And there goes my afternoon.
Yeah, Detroit Red Wings have the best NHL regular season ever at 62 wins, 13 losses, and 7 overtime losses. Tampa Bay is second with 62 wins, 16 losses, and 4 overtime losses. And the Montreal is third with 60 wins, 8 losses, and 12 OTL. So that's just where that sits. Just correcting myself because I think I said that dead off. Or I said they were dead tied. They're just a little off. But yeah. Put them right up there with the greats, and to follow with 2 Stanley Cups is still wicked. Where else were we? Who else can we jump into? You want to jump into any of the Canadians?
I mean,
yeah.
I only really had, main thing was the interview, just with the touching interview with Weber and Price. Got to feel for him a little, obviously. And then for Weber to come to bat for Carey when Carey's trying to come to bat for the team was just nice to see.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty obvious they were pretty outclassed in this series. Good on them for winning the game. Their fans went nuts. Kucherov had a couple things to say about that. And I mean, they made it this far, but it was definitely an uphill climb for them to try and get the 16 wins.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, man, even if Vegas was in there, I wouldn't have picked Vegas. I know I picked Montreal, but like I picked Montreal, and if I would pick Vegas, it would have been the same thing in 7. Like only if they could drag it out and whatever. But
yeah.
I don't know. I give them props for being there. Any team, you know, any team to lose in the finals, it just sucks. So I don't know. I thought good on him. I thought it was just classy as shit on Weber. I got fucking, I don't know. I thought when Carey said something, I was like, wow, I'm surprised he said something. And then when he said something after, I was like, it almost seems like awkward. Like, it's just weird to drag it on longer. It just takes guts. And
yeah.
And I liked it. It was just a good cat move. I just love that he's there. Weber's a good WHL guy and love that about him. Great fit for Montreal.
Well, I got a crazy.
Yeah, I feel for them.
Yeah. No, 100%, right? Any team that makes it this far is going to have a crushing defeat as soon as it comes to an end.
Also, we all knew anyone who gets to the end who faces most likely Tampa Bay is going to, like, you know, they're going to be the underdogs. They're going to have to, anyone, whoever it was going to have to overcome a lot of shit to beat them. So they gave it their best shot. They somehow made it there, and, you know, I could just carry Price is not enough, so.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the reason Montreal got to that point. Like, obviously, shut her down, like, half, or I guess game 7 in the Toronto series and didn't look back from there. And then he just wasn't performing the same way against Tampa. Or he was, but Tampa's offense was just too dynamic, I think, for only him to kind of step up and do anything.
Yeah, so. I think it really showed that Montreal has some bigger, slower defensemen. Mm-hmm. And against a team that's so stacked, essentially, for Tampa, that they just blew them out of the water in that aspect. And yeah, I mean, a couple of questionable coaching calls by Dominic Ducharme and guys who were you sitting. Like, I can't believe Thomas Tatar didn't play a single second of the Stanley Cup final. Yeah. Sitting Kotkaniemi when you need something to come back. Like, what? I don't know. All very interesting, questionable choices.
Especially when you look at this Montreal team, like, don't get me wrong, I think they deserve to be there. Obviously, they deserve to be there. They played through and won every other series that they were in, but the team itself isn't necessarily flashy, and they're not now going to go on a run of, like, playoff appearances even. Like, they could very well not make the playoffs next year. And when you have guys that are your future in Kotkaniemi, Caulfield, Suzuki, guys like that. Yeah, Suzuki looked unreal. Mm-hmm. No way you take him out. But you can't be sitting guys like that because this is where you get the experience from. It's all over again the first game against Toronto. Like, we were talking about this. You can't sit guys who are your future when you shouldn't necessarily be there. Anyway, like, I mean, yeah, they should be there this year, but they won't be back next year. And where are they going to get that experience from if you're sitting them this year? You know?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, you're cheating a prospect out of their experience when you don't play them in a game like that. Whether they're ready or not, it's like, even, you know, what are they supposed to do when they can go to a team and they can say they have Stanley Cup final experience and they cannot say it, and they cannot say it because they got benched and they're like an upcoming prospect? Like, it doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
You're just missing out completely when you've made it there.
Well, and with Suzuki, like, stepping up and showing that he's capable of, like, performing well, if he continues to grow, he easily slots into their number two or number one's center, or not easily maybe, but, like, that's a very good spot for him. And then Kotkaniemi could slide right behind him. And they, if Kotkaniemi works out, they have a very solid 1-2 centerman punch. And I think you just, like, break his confidence by not playing him in a game like that.
100%. Like, I mean, you set Kotkaniemi when you basically need goals. Like, you're not bringing in somebody that's going to be substituting him because of, like, their defense ability. He's not bad defensively, but, like, you need an offensive spark to try and get up in a game.
Yeah.
And then they also sit Erik Gustafsson on the defensive side, and I mean, he's one of their, like, most mobile defensemen, especially when they're just getting beat wide and beat on the rush and everything. He's not the guy to sit. But I mean, it's over now. He's gonna get an extension because he took him this far, but questionable decisions basically the entire way through.
Yeah.
And you know what? I want to talk about Mark Bergevin for a moment. Just, like, his future. We haven't done that yet, have we?
No.
Yeah. So, okay, I find it kind of weird because start of the season, he was in the hot seat pretty hard. Made a couple moves, like, and then, you know, like, look at his year. They're doing really well. The headlines are great. Bergevin's looking awesome, blah, blah, blah. They go in that big slump. The headlines aren't that good. They barely make the playoffs. And then they're like, oh, you know, he's got a chance now. Maybe he can make something of it. They now go to the Stanley Cup final. And they go 5 games and lose against the Tampa Bay Lightning, back-to-back champions. And then he's back in the hot seat. So I kind of don't get it. Because, like, you know what I mean? All year, this is Canadian hockey here.
I was going to say, it's a Canadian market wrapped up in a nutshell.
I know, but, like, I just think it's got to be more common knowledge that it's such an unrealistic, and this honestly, this ties you back to this Nikita Kucherov comment, because people don't even understand people don't understand like what the drought is to this city, what it's done to the to the country, and what it's done to like every fucking time a Canadian team, you can hate them deep down in your guts, and half and like more than half the country jumps on their back for the fucking run because it's been so long. And then when it doesn't go bad, or even if it goes good, we're fucking losing our minds every single game. Yeah. So when he's like, yeah, they act like they won the Stanley Cup because they won one game. Yeah, dude, we fucking, Jesus Christ. I don't know how you don't get that. Yeah, if we had a 1-3, if there was a game 6, like, you wouldn't believe what you'd be seeing in that arena. Like, I don't know. I think people actually don't remember that, don't know that about Canadians anymore, just because we see it once every 10 years. Like, you know, I just think, I don't know. So that's what I mean. Like, no, Bergevin, you went to the end. Like, no one can say he did a shitty job. His team made it. It's a weird year, but so was last year. The bubble and everything, like, the past fucking 3 years have been weird. So, I don't know. I just think, and he's built a team. He's still using Price good. The team is deep. I just think the Bergevin hate's, like, really misplaced and, like, not real.
Yeah.
So that's
it sounded like he almost didn't want to be back after his contract was up. Like, not that he was necessarily on the hot seat now and, like, on the verge of being fired or whatever. Obviously, the organization isn't going to come out and fire their GM when he makes the Stanley Cup final. Or at least I hope not. If they did that, man, there would be some uproar, I think. But
I'm sure.
It sounded like he was... Like, oh yeah, Mike, do you have the quote there from the interview?
Nailed it.
So Eric Engels, he's tweeted out, he said, asked Mark Bergevin directly if he'd like to continue in his role beyond the year he's still under contract. His response was, I have one more year under contract and I will honor that.
Yeah, okay. So that right there sounds like he is fully prepared to come back next year, fully prepared for the team not to do well, and then probably not re-sign at the end of that year and maybe look for another job somewhere else or stop, like, not participate as a GM in the league. Like, I don't know. I don't know what his plan is, but it sounds like it's not with the Montreal Canadiens.
I think what's in the cards for the Habs is they don't make the playoffs next year and then they just don't renew Bergevin. Because, I mean, I don't necessarily love all the choices he's done and all the things that he's...
Yeah.
Brought in and made, so I think this cup run was probably a little bit of a savior, because I mean, like we said, they barely squeaked into the playoffs.
100%.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's tough. I don't see them making the playoffs next year, and especially with that comment, I don't see him being back past next year.
Yeah. Good luck if you're a Canadian GM and. Like any Canadian team, and you're like, when is your job safe?
Yeah.
It's not. You better win a fucking cup. The only guy who probably wouldn't say something like that to the media right now is Jim Benning, because he just knows he's never going anywhere.
He's fucking, he's got the...
That's what I mean. He's got a horseshoe up his ass, and every other GM would be like, get me out of here, like Happy Gilmore style, just like, get me the fuck out. Like, everyone's had enough after, like, they're like, we can do this, and then 3 years in, especially if you get one chance... One good run on a Canadian team, and then you see the next season, and you're like, the next climb, and you see how you just got nowhere, and you maybe lost some people, and you're like,
yeah.
And the fans hate you now because who knows? You didn't fucking shave yesterday. I don't know, man. Like, it's like stepping on fucking mines in Canada. It doesn't make any sense.
That's the biggest thing.
All doomed.
With Canadian like markets. And you've seen it so much in the past, but
every year
or in like it is every year. But these guys, these teams make runs, so it's like the Canucks 1 year, the Canadians this year. Like every year, it's a different Canadian team pushing the limit in the playoffs, maybe a little bit further than they should have gone. The fans go, oh fuck, we're great, we're gonna make the playoffs next year and contend for the Stanley Cup, and then the team takes a step backwards, and now everybody's like, oh, fire the GM, like he's done. Right? And it's just like, it happens every year with Canadian teams.
There needs to be a change in culture. Like, it's so needed. If they want to win, like, it's a help you, help us help you moment. Big time. Like, you're not helping anyone by pointing the fingers, sitting at home. And we're the only ones who watch this shit anyway. We're just watching all the American teams win, and then we're just shitting on our team so hard that they're making pressure moves, and people don't want to play there, and, like, it's a fucking disaster, man. And then, like, I bet you, fuck, man, wait till we go to the Olympics if that ever happens again. Then you see how shitty the Canadian team is, and you wonder why. Because they're, like, it's a different culture than when we were growing up. Yeah. There's, like, a lot less tolerance, a lot less patience. We're bullying fucking world junior kids when they're, like, when they're not, like, winning games. Like, it's so fucked from when we were, like, the culture in Canada is taking a fucking dive here. Every other team just, like, appreciates the runs, appreciates the moments, and, like, and loves the good players forever. And, like, the Canadian teams, like, you gotta fucking sacrifice your soul if you don't win a Stanley Cup to even just be... to not be hated. You gotta be like a Sedin or an Aginla, or like, it's literally like impossible to leave an imprint and not just be like a nobody. I don't know, it's weird. And that's, there's a reason, like, nobody wants to play there. Like, I don't know, Eichel, you think Eichel's gonna do anything if he goes? No, the pressure on Eichel if he ever went to a Canadian team would be fucked.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god. Do you think you're getting less pressure? No. Dude, you're getting fucking, everyone's gonna be looking at you, especially if you go anywhere. Like, one run. And then they'd all be like, oh, he just couldn't do it in the playoffs if they got eliminated. Like, it's just bad headlines up here.
So interesting. It's like every team down in the States, like, first line center or first line forwards have the exact same pressure as, like, the top nine in Canada. Like Tavares, if he was on a American team as the second line center, would have no pressure on him. But because he's in Toronto... playing second line minutes behind Matthews and is expected to, like, actually perform, not actually perform, but just is expected to, like, do really well. He's got so much pressure and he just doesn't do anything with it. It's so interesting, man. So interesting.
My biggest problem is I don't even see any of this changing. That's the fucking most frustrating part, is, like, no one person, like, I can't even think, unless, like, something crazy, like a dynasty Canadian team would have to happen or something, man. Like, and you don't even know if that would work, if it would band us all together, but we're a bunch of miserable bitches up here, man, and it shows. Yeah. Like, every celebration we're flipping cars and shit. Like, man, it's embarrassing, you know. Like, to me, that was American stuff. And then all of a sudden we're losing our fucking minds. Like, yeah. And, like, I don't know, this Bergevin thing just mind boggles me.
It's, who's the last, it's so Canadian weird team to win the cup?
Montreal.
Montreal in 93.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. And the first time that they ever hadn't went 10 years and won the cup was 2013. I was graduating, and I remember watching the run, and they got eliminated that year. I think that was the year they got Camilleri from Calgary, so I was paying attention a lot. He was doing well. And then they got eliminated pretty late, like the conference final or something, and I was like, fuck, thank God. And then I remember everybody was saying, like, first time in, like, I think ever that they hadn't won in at least a decade, the Stanley Cup. And then I was like, and they're the last team. And then sure enough, like, ever since, we've almost gone 10 more years and no one's won a cup for Canada yet. And no one's really gotten too close except for the cursed Canucks. But I don't know. Yeah, it's a bummer. And, like, look at Toronto. Look at the talent. Look at the money there. And, like, fuck, they're not even close. And, like, they're just choking.
Yeah.
Like, you should.
Yeah, it's not like they're a bad team. They're just not performing.
When does the fan start being like, is it us? Because it's not. Never. It's fucking never, right?
It'll never happen.
That won't happen as a consensus. It might happen as a few, but you'll never get. Unless you see the miracle on ice in Toronto. Maybe that'll change a couple hearts, but those guys are fucked. I don't know what to say.
Like, the next Canadian team will win a cup. What year? If you had to guess.
Oh, I don't know, to predict, like, how close they are, and, like, there's some big free agents coming up, but who knows where we'll go. I don't know.
When and what team do you think?
Oh, man, what are we now? 2021, okay. I'm going to go, man, it's so weird.
What if we nail it on the button, though? And the pod's going in
2027.
Okay.
I don't fucking know. 2027. Oh, that's a bad year. I don't even know. Let's say the Flames win it.
Ty, you love that.
No, I don't. Fucking hocus pocus bullshit. I appreciate it, but I just fucking, oh god, those guys. 2025, I'll take Winnipeg Jets. Still doing it with Hellebuck.
Nice.
They get it
nice
late in his career. After all the veterans get old.
I am going to say 2024 season. I'm going to say the Oilers get it done. They find a way.
All right.
Nice. That's a good pick.
Probably the most probable out of them, but hey.
Yeah.
Hey, what were the most recent Canadian teams that went all the way? That like at least made it to the finals. We had the Canucks in 2011, right? Or was that 2010?
Yeah.
2011.
Yeah.
And then of course we have Montreal. Who's the other one?
Oilers went, and the is there another one in there?
What year?
Flames.
Flames were 2004.
Oilers were 2008.
2006. They lost to Carolina, right?
2006. Close. Yeah.
I want to compare a couple of rosters and just kind of show you what kind of Canadian teams are actually making it to the finals. And like in theory, you could see who they're against too, but I just don't think that they're that. Like I don't think they're that impressive. Like when I think back, like the Vancouver one kind of was. I don't think this one really was. Like they don't look like a Stanley Cup team, right? Like obviously.
Yeah. Well, and that's exactly the point that I was trying to make earlier. In you have these Canadian teams that. One year they do well and they press to the finals or they press to the conference finals and all the fans of the team, even all the Canadian fans, get super excited because now they think they have this team that's going to be competitive every year or year in, year out. And the next year they don't make the playoffs or the next year they finish bottom five in the league and it's frustrating. It would be so frustrating, man.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't imagine.
It's always a magic run for sure. And it's always like, it always just seems like a Cinderella story. And it's always just seems like it's like all fans. It's always like, how are they doing it? And then it's just like bonkers every win. And the further they go, the crazier the support is. And then, when they fall so hard on their face every time. It's like, it's like unavoidable to just eat a loss, eat the loss so hard at the end. There's no way to come back strong the next year. Like it's just a kick in the balls. Like there's mm-hmm. no one picking you up after. There's nothing. There's nobody there when you get back to the fucking... They're throwing Molotovs at your bus. Like, it's fucking brutal. Like, straight up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. When I just think of that Montreal team and even the Flames team, like, they had great players. But, see, that's one. They had a goalie and stuff. They had some big pillars, but they just never have enough from Canada. It's always just fucking fueled by heart. And then it gets to the end and it's like, oh, fuck, structure. And they just lose. It is good to see a team with, like, such a perfect power play win, though. I'll say that.
It's so nice.
Like, I love that. Yeah. 'Cause that's, like, how it should be. That's how hockey should be. You get me up and I got, like, my weapons in the right spot. It's just, like, Obi and stuff. It's, like, yeah, classic. I just love those kind of goals that just go in. You're, like, fucking beautiful.
Well, I got a couple of stats. Before we close out the finals here. So teams that were down 3-0 in the cup final. It's happened 28 times. 20 sweeps have happened. And then five times it's gone to five games, including this one. And then one time it went to six, one time it went to seven, and one team came back. But
yeah,
it's crazy. They just as soon as they get 3-0, especially in the cup final, it looks like it's just over.
Yeah, yeah. Especially like to that point, like you push so hard as a team to get mm-hmm. there, and you kind of just lose. Like it's that final kind of steam that you just kind of lose when you go down 3-0. It's deflating for sure.
Yeah, and then the other one here I have, let's find it. So this was the 36th time the Montreal Canadiens have been in the Cup Finals. Obviously, they have they have 24 wins, but in their 12 losses, they've only ever been closed out on home ice once.
Wow!
All 11 other times, it's happened in the winning team's barn.
That's pretty fucking cool.
So Montreal does crazy. Not lose on home ice to close it out.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
They just got all the Frenchies losing their minds at the pregame, like, the pregame speeches. It's like, we'll take their asses and shove it up there. It's like some Frenchie losing his mind, big mustache. Boys are all fired up. The barn's crazy. I'm just picturing like a goon speech in the locker room before the game. It just like fires them up way too much. And the next game, it's like they just lose. It's like, we did it. Like, we did it, guys.
We did it. Lose at home.
Five games, not at home. Fucking right. Oh, French are nuts. I'm my buddy Dan, actually, he's moving home. He's been waiting forever to do it. And finally was going, and like this big run happens, and the whole run he was like working in a restaurant. He's like asked me when every game was, and he was watching it all, and every night he was like, dude, I can't believe this run. He's like, if they can just get to the end, I should be there for the end of it. And then they get to the end and they're about to get swept, and he's like, I just need one fucking win. And the whole time he's like losing it in the group chat the whole series. And then the last game he's like, I just need the one win. And then when they won, he was just fucking like losing his mind. He's like, yes, yes. And then sure enough, he's just there for a loss. But it was just so fucking funny. Like, I wanted it so bad, and it looked like he was gonna miss it, and he just barely holds on. That stat makes that even funnier.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. That's, I love good. It
man, fucking this up. When's the parade for these beauties?
It'll be next week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
They get them a few days there.
They do. It's a little bit more formal now. Last year was super informal.
Yeah.
Because of COVID and everything.
We knew what to do, yeah, last year.
Yeah. So today they're, like, on the ice with, like, families and stuff, like, taking pictures, them in their gear and the Stanley Cup, all that kind of stuff, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. The last stat I had was something that the NHL put out. But since 1980, the Cup Final has featured at least one of Jaromir Jagr's teammates every single year.
Yeah, I did see that. The tradition continues.
How many years?
Since 1980.
80. Yeah, like, unfucking believable.
What?
Yeah. Think of how big the pool of players he must have played with is.
Who has he played with in this finals?
John Merrill.
What?
Can you tell me where? Can you tell me where?
I have no idea.
Florida. Florida, I think.
Instant.
I think so. I could be wrong, but.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. Could be.
So Tampa Bay now has. The Rays made it to the World Series, didn't they?
No, they lost in the.
I thought. Conference.
Conference.
Or champ.
I thought they made it to the end and then lost, but I couldn't remember.
They might. I don't think so.
I thought they won, and I looked up today, and they didn't win. But I was like, I could have sworn they were at the end, and it was this big thing. Like, if they win, Tampa just keeps fucking winning everything. And sure enough, back-to-back Stanley Cups, they got the Buccaneers. Just won one, going for two, I'm sure.
They might have made the World Series. I can't remember anymore. It sucks, because I'm a Rays fan. I can't remember.
Oh. I thought you were a Rockies guy.
I am. Rockies
the Bucks,
and Rays.
The Bucks won. I don't think the Rays won.
No, they definitely didn't win.
But I think they lost in the finals.
And the Bucks won in Tampa too. Fucking wild.
Like, it's insane. Did you see like the Stanley Cup Twitter account tweeted out
they did go to the World
Tom Series. Brady about being thrown?
Yeah, he's did. Like, what I was think it? This the Stanley Cup Twitter account was like, hey Tom, just a reminder, we're a little bit heavy to throw. And then Tom was like, after a few tequilas, anything feels a little bit lighter.
A bit lighter, yeah. That was pretty good.
Yeah, it was great.
You guys see that warning?
Oh, yeah. We got five minutes,
boys. Chat. Yeah, sorry. I just thought that was funny. Right. Anywho, is it? Show goes on. Yeah, dude, that parade will be sick. I can't wait to see that, actually. And the rings, fuck. Back-to-back rings are going to look sick.
Yeah. I think they're gonna do. I think they're gonna do another boat parade, which is fucking sweet.
That would be awesome. Yeah,
makes sense, and it looked awesome. Yeah, might as well keep the tradition going. You stop doing that, and then you lose next year.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be all about it. We're going on the fucking boats. They look sweet anyway. Why wouldn't you? And yeah, I bet they could do it better, especially a second year after all this COVID stuff settled down a lot.
Oh yeah, they'll
give her
be
a nice
like
do over.
Yeah, maybe they do like a boat parade for like a portion of it, and then like get in the cars and like get down a street and like interact with fans and
something.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Interacting with fans. Were you gonna say? What were you gonna say?
Yeah, Blake Coleman. Did you
at the arena?
Yeah. Outside. Like after they were done, it was like 3 a.m.
Was he the one with the
The massive champagne.
I thought that was Sergachev. It was Coleman?
No.
Coleman, Pickle Juice coming out with the massive champagne. And I was just laughing at the bottle. When he went over to the first car, and the buddy with the fucking, like, cul-de-sac haircut, just chugging from the fucking Stanley Cup champion's fucking champagne. Bottles, like, the size of the guy's torso, too.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
I can't believe it fit through the fucking plane door.
Looked heavy. And I didn't even think he put it, he didn't even put it down all the way. It was just still guessing when he was moving up.
Yeah.
Like, get there, get there. He was fucking hitting them. Yeah, that was awesome, man. Coleman. Too many beauties, though. I was having fun. I was at work for it, but watching the win. Pretty close game, too. Right? It was 2-1, no?
1-0.
1-0.
1-0, sorry.
Fifth straight shutout for Vas.
Right.
One Vasilevsky.
Of course, of course. It was crazy to see. It was awesome seeing their faces and like them going up in the threes for the quick interviews. Those were awesome because they're all just so lit up and like it's all quick, but they all just get to go up there and it was nice to see them all just like hooting on up there. It's like Stammer, Coleman, and like some other beauty, Sergachev, and the next one was like Vasi and Cooch and someone else. And I never noticed it like in threes like that before, and it was kind of dope. I couldn't hear much, but it was a good look.
Oh yeah, man! It's so exciting and so fun to like just watch. Like I was just sitting there like watching all these interviews for hours afterwards, and like scrolling through social media 2 days later, and like it's still everywhere. And these guys are just getting after it. Like I love it. Oh, yeah. I love it. Like could you imagine how like excited and happy you would be? Like the ultimate goal, like for your entire life to win this trophy and you finally do it and then you do it again the next year, like, oh, it'd just be so good.
Oh, dude. Yeah, Cloud9. And like, I mean, that's definitely a possible three-peat there.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I couldn't imagine.
Who's got the odds? So you got the odds, Mike?
I do have the odds. I was going to go into that fourth? Next. Yeah.
Oh, I got you, buddy. I'll just segue it.
I was going to bring up our records and then go into the odds for next year.
Yeah, do that.
So
our records. Oh, yeah.
So overall records, with the Bullets winning, I go 10 and 5. Yep. Tay also goes 10 and 5, and Ty goes 6 and 9. but yeah, next year. So the Avs open up as favorites, +550. So just over 5-1 to win it. And same as Vegas. Vegas is +550 as well. So you bet $100, win $550. And then Tampa sits in third at $650. Carolina at 11. Toronto at 12. Boston at 16 are the only teams that are under 20-1.
I got one. What is the Kraken at?
100. 1,000.
100-1.
Are they the biggest one?
No.
How far are they in the bottom? Yeah. Like how bad are they?
Like on the 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th from the bottom.
Okay, see, better than when I last saw. When I saw they were dead last, and I was like, man, come on. Does no one think that what Vegas did could happen again?
Especially like, in the Pacific Division, too. Like they.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of tough competition.
No.
There. Everyone's kind of just rebuilding. So, like, you know, if you fit right in kind of wherever you do, and I think they'll be pretty good with a goalie.
Yeah, we have Buffalo and Detroit coming in at 200-1. The Ducks at 125, same as Columbus, Ottawa, Chicago, and Arizona are all at 125-1. And then at 100, we have the Devils, Kraken, and Sharks.
Damn.
I would, just looking at this right now, some good value bets. Philly at 33-1 is pretty solid, considering what they did last year. Like, just chuck this 1 year out of the barn and, you know, you got something. Florida at 25-1 is pretty good. Islanders at 25 is not too bad. I mean, they'll probably get back to at least the conference finals. Other than that, pretty standard of where I would put everything. But yeah, the Flyers right now are my bet at 33-1 for best odds for the money.
Fuck. Ow.
Yeah, I think if they can do what they've done in the past, I don't know. Carter Hart needs a big bounce back, I think.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And they need to kind of shore up a little bit, make sure everybody's contributing the way that they need to. But Yeah, I like it. That's a good value bet.
I mean, yeah, if you have to believe in Carter Hart, obviously, but I mean, he's shown it other than this
year. Yeah, I did that this year. So. And he,
I was gonna say, you know what? If I like, learned anything, I would not do that again. I'm not kidding you. Like, if he's shown anything, it's extreme doubt. Sure, it was one season and stuff, but like, that's one of the biggest fall offs I've ever seen in my life. I'm not even kidding you. For a goaltender, that's one of the biggest. Like, just flops off the top rope I've ever seen.
Hopefully it's just this one year.
I'm with you. I love the kid, but Jesus.
In case you're also wondering, Montreal comes in at 25-1 to get back and win it. So,
are they the top Canadian team? No, Toronto.
No,
right?
Toronto's there. Edmonton's 22.
Ooh.
And then Montreal is at 25.
Hey. Where's Calgary at?
Calgary Flamers is 40-1.
Oh, I like those odds. You're telling me there's a chance.
They're the fourth highest Canadian team. Fourth highest Canadian team.
Suck on that one, Knox. Where are they at?
66-1. The Jets are 45-1, and the Sens, like I said, are 125-1.
Watch, the Canucks will knock us out of the playoffs by one spot, guaranteed. Just off the bubble, just to fucking spite me. Ah, another year. Exciting though. It's gonna be a wicked off season too. I'm not gonna lie. I'm fucking fired up to see what happens. Just because it's gonna be an absolute shit show. It's one of those years where they stop updating like NHL right now, because the Stanley Cup's won.
Yeah.
And then like everyone gets signed and shit at the draft, and everyone gets traded, and then it just like that's the only reason I buy the next fucking game is because I can't stand looking at the old rosters anymore. And yeah, it's always so funny. It's always the thing that kicks me the most. I'm like, oh, I want to see these new teams, and they get in the game, and I'm like, oh fuck, they're all like still old. Like it's always such a buzzkill, yeah. And they're always like this is one of those years where they're gonna be especially different, is what I'm getting at. So I'm like, man, like I bet it's just gonna be awesome to see them so different. I can't wait. There's so many
EA Sports knows that too, and they're not gonna do anything to the game. They're just gonna release new rosters and make you pay like $120 for the new game.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I won't be getting the next one, but
oh,
crushing. It's just like end of a fucking era.
Yeah,
so they can have my 40 game bucks.
Every year for.
They can have my 40
so
bucks.
Long.
Quickly, sorry, I wanted to just mention a funny comment on an Instagram post.
We got a funny here.
Mikhail Sergachev. Yeah. So Barkley Goodrow posted a picture on Instagram just with the cup. It said back-to-back, like we're Jordan in 96 and 97. And then Sergachev comments, he's like, yeah, but last year there was no travel, and this year we're $18 million over the cap. ... fake cups. I thought it was so fucking funny because he's just absolutely roasting his own team. And yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's like when you know that like they only got one thing on you, so if you put it out there, like it means a lot less because you are like you obviously just stated it. They don't no zingers on you now. It's like what else you got, pretty much. Yeah.
I got one more note basically wrapping up this season, but
what do I got here?
I think I'm good.
Carey Price fucking shook the hands of the refs before he left the game. At the end, like everyone else left the ice and he shook the hands of the refs and then left. So fucking stud move, like Carey Price, kind of a beauty. One more funny thing I wanted to say was former Montreal Canadiens drafted by the team, Sergachev and Ryan McDonagh, 9th and 12th overall. Winning their first or winning Stanley Cups against their team. Kind of funny.
Yeah.
Did we say Brendan Gallagher got fucking robbed?
we said it quickly and then just moved on.
Oh, okay. Motherfucker got robbed. Game 5. Yeah, lose the Stanley Cup and your fucking Xbox. See you later.
Yeah,
so that does suck. Like, I'm making it a funny thing, but that fucking blows. That's this happened brutal. Before. It happened to Rob Gronkowski. Oh, God, I wish I had a list, but I know it happened to Rob Gronkowski twice, so that's really, really funny. But, that was it, JaVale McGee had his house robbed. They took, like, two safes, and, like, he lost one of his championship rings. So that's, like, a fucking savage one.
Yeah, that's
someone's,
brutal.
Someone's just got that in their house, some dirty fuck. He got another one, but still. There was that. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. All right, go ahead. Oh, yeah, we said, yeah, you said Vasi won that. Okay, we're good. I'm good. Proceed.
I was just going to say that the game five marks the last game for NBCSN broadcast or NBC. So basically an end of an era that was there for quite some time, but now it moves to ESPN and TNT, and ESPN basically just came out with a little hype video for basically everybody that they've hired or employed or everything like that. So I'm just going to list a couple of the names here. So they're play-by-play guys. I'm not too, I don't know them that well. Obviously I know John Buchagross. I think I nailed that.
Buchagross. Yeah, you nailed it.
The other play-by-plays are Sean McDonough, Steve Levy, Leah Hextall, and Bob Wischusen. I've probably heard their voices. I just don't know the names.
You know that.
But their analysts and like in between periods and stuff like that is stacked. So they have Barry Melrose. Obviously, he was there before. He's just staying with them. They've got Mark Messier, Chris Chelios. They've brought in Ray Ferraro. Brian Boucher is coming over from NBC, which I think is great. I loved him on the call. Cassie Campbell, Kevin Weeks, Ryan Callahan, AJ Melezco, Rick DiPietro, and Hillary Knight.
Rick DiPietro.
Yeah.
No
Finally
way.
Coming off that, like...
What?
17-year buyout. Now
what
he's
the fuck
make
is
some
he
money.
There to do?
Yeah, he's just, you know, a little bit of commentary, I guess.
Dude, fuck off. He's a disgrace. Fuck that. How does he get that fucking money and then just try to walk back into the hockey world like he's someone we fucking want around? Yeah, thanks for Good you. Lord. Fuck me. You imagine that guy calling on if they go to the conference final again or some shit in New York next year? Like, every time it cuts them, I'll have, like, oh, God, that'll just make me boil. Like, are you kidding me? You fucking butchered that team's fucking chances for, like, 10 years.
It was a compliance buyout, so it doesn't affect the cap.
Well, yeah, I know, but regardless, how long was he a fucking just total anchor for them? What happened to him? Did he fall off, or was he just always shit?
He's just injury. Always not great.
Yeah, he was always shit, and they gave him, like, what, 10
didn't
million
he go,
years?
Like, first overall?
He did.
Fuck yeah. Me, are you serious?
Yeah,
he went first overall. Drafted first overall, and then they signed him to like a 13-year contract.
You know what, maybe
was stupid.
But I mean, his numbers were never good in the NHL, so.
Well, you know what, maybe he's got something good to say about NHL, we'll make him an analyst. Like, what the fuck is this, man? This guy,
maybe
like,
he
what
does.
What has he done for fucking hockey? God, why does he deserve a chance? I'm sure they,
I mean, to be fair, he's still getting... buyout fuck payments for the next God. 9 years. So.
Jesus Christ.
For the next nine years.
My guts are wrenching right now.
What is it, like a million a year for the next 9 years?
Holy Jesus.
2013 to 2029.
That is atrocious.
That's goals right there.
Yeah,
that's
right?
What, that's what aspire to do. He makes $1.5 million every year to do nothing right now. That's nice.
I'd love to see his rating every year in EA. Just what it was. They're bad anyway, but eventually they used to be so good, and it just fucking probably like 79 overall when he leaves. $8 million rank or whatever the hell he was. Anyway, fuck with DiPietro. That guy can eat my sack. Fuck him whenever he's on TV. I will be cursing him out. That guy sucks.
Why?
Just because. He didn't do anything for that team, and he just cost him like so many good seasons. He just like...
Well, I'm pretty sure it's his buddy who signed him. Like, I think he like was buddy with the GM, so he got signed to a 15-year contract at $4.5 million, which got bought out after like five.
Fuck, 15 years for like, that is such a weird deal. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I just remember looking at their team because like I used to flip around shitty teams just for fun in EA, and that team I remember always being like, how the fuck did he get this? Like. I just never knew, so I don't know. That guy's just a fucking anchor to me. Hope he can fucking talk
hockey. Was he the
reason
that they changed the, like, max year?
No, I think that was the Weber deal.
Because
it was, like, an offer sheet by Philly, I believe, to try and, like, kill the Predators, basically. Like, hey, you're a small market with, like, no money. Let's see you try and match this.
Right.
Because it was so front-loaded, but I think that was the reason why. Plus the Parise and Suter deals, I think. Probably played a little bit of the reason, but...
Okay, we got any more for... Oh, yeah, self-call-out. Did we fucking butcher one of the analysts last week? Didn't we say someone was going to be Messier and Gretzky were... Should we correct that?
Yeah, I think Tay said that Messier was joining...
I was with him. I was like, no way.
Wayno in TNT, but he's going to ESPN.
We were close. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't... I just wanted to say it because, I was like, oh, shit. We'll do that one. That's all good. I just wanted to correct it. Is that it for hockey, though? Radonski's on... Montreal?
I think so.
Okay, fuck, I got one. Yeah. This is hilarious. Did you guys see that fucking Drake was on a date and he, like, rented out Dodger Stadium? Like, yesterday or something? Yeah, straight up. 921. I'm trying to see when it was. Yeah, it was yesterday. Yeah, fucking... This helicopter guy tweets, Drake on a date randomly just flew over this cozy couple enjoying a private dinner along the third baseline at an empty Dodger Stadium. He has, like, a white tablecloth, beautiful table, flowers all over it, like, food. They got their own bartender. There's flowers on his little table, his bar. They're like, it's hilarious, right? And so I was like, man, this guy, because the Dodgers obviously aren't there. So I'm like, this guy fucking... rents out all of Dodger Stadium to go on a date with a girl, and he still can't get a fucking private night. Like, how fucking funny is that? You rent out a goddamn empty stadium, and you still got people, like, flying over getting these... And it's this nasty shot. Looks like they're both looking up at him, and you can barely see. If I zoom in, it looks like he's just frowning, and she's just looking up. And it's just like, man, I feel so bad for the guy. I'm also balling out hard, but I'm like, man, I just think that's so ironic.
How much do you think it was?
Oh, God, dude. At Dodger Stadium?
It'd be funny if the Dodgers were supposed to play, and it's like, actually, we'll just move it to a doubleheader the next day. You can have it.
Yeah, I read a blurb on it. It was something like, he took advantage of them, ended up a series somewhere. He said where, and then it was like Seattle or some shit. And then I thought that was so funny, man. I don't get it. The picture kills me because it's like there's one of them looking at each other and then there's one of like them turning around, obviously looking at the helicopter from like so far away. And that's when I was like, man, that's just like so fucked to me. You just never fucking safe. Anyway, that was it. I thought that was hilarious.
I just got one last correction. John Merrill and Jaromir Jagr played together in New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Merrill has never played in Florida.
And that's the way the cookie crumbles, folks. But that'll do it. You got something else?
We do need to touch on Matisse Kivlenix.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
Unfortunately.
Of course.
We sure do.
Sad news over the weekend. I think it was Sunday? Sunday last week?
Yeah,
July 4th. He, unfortunately, goaltender for the Columbus Blue Jackets, 24 years old, passed away after an accident while celebrating the 4th of July. Really, really sad stuff. The kid was pretty good goalie, looked to kind of jump into the backup role this year in Columbus because obviously, I'm assuming they'll move on from one of either Elvis or Korpisalo, so... Yeah, really sad stuff. Condolences to the Kivlenix family. Like, that's really, really, really sad and way too early for him to go.
Yeah, I think it was... They were at Columbus's goalie coach, who's Manny Legacy. His daughter got married.
Oh, wow.
I think it was, like, an after party for that as well.
Yeah.
And then, just a fireworks accident and crazy, horrible shit.
Who was that?
Freak accident, for sure.
That it was a wedding for?
It was Manny Legacy's daughter, so he's the goalie coach for Columbus.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's too bad. I saw someone asked someone who was there, or someone, I don't know, a coach or something, a reporter asked somebody if any teammates were present for the accident, and they wouldn't answer.
So like, no, of course
I can't. Well, I don't know. I kind of figured, but I didn't know.
Yeah.
That's just that kind of makes it more obvious to me. That's brutal. Yeah. I don't know. It's an absolute tragedy. And
yeah, they were
what a terrible thing to happen. Go ahead.
They were all over, like, Twitter. A bunch of different players were just about posting about, like, stories about how amazing this kid was. And there's one video where it was after his first win in the locker room. And the kid, he was just so humble. Really, really just, like, couldn't be more grateful to win the cup or to win the game. And yeah, it's just really sad. Really, really sad.
Yeah, what was his nickname? Kiwi?
Kiwi, yeah.
Yeah, Kiwi be in our heavy hearts for the next couple of days, that's for sure. And like, geez, easy with your fireworks on 4th of July. That shit gets out of hand. And this is what can happen.
Definitely.
Yeah, they're definitely not toys. I mean, we've seen athletes in multiple different sports have injuries from them, and obviously this was the worst injury of them all, but yeah, fucking be safe.
Yeah, I mean, I also read it was initially thought that it was from a fall out of the hot tub, and it was later found that it was actually from a shot from a firework to the chest. So, you know what I mean? Like, just be careful, yeah. It's absolutely terrible. Terrible thing.
Life's short, man, and you gotta go out there and live your life every single day the way that you want to live it, and not take anything for granted, right? It's so easy to just get complacent with what you do every day, or who you're with, or how much you appreciate somebody. And stories like this, when people go way too young, it really hits heavy. Mm-hmm. This kid was born August 26th, and I was born August 9th, so it's literally like 20, not even 20 days later than me. Same year and everything. Obviously, he's from Latvia. I'm from Canada, so it's a little different, but it just really hits home because he's basically the same age. So.
Yeah, that always hits close when it's like that. Always.
Yeah.
You're just easy to relate, and yeah, you feel it a lot more. It just feels like it could be totally. You, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and he was the goalie that for Latvia that beat Canada just, what is it, like...
No way.
3 weeks ago? A month ago? It feels like it just happened, yeah. But...
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's with heavy hearts that the Hosiers will be signing off for this one with heavy hearts, and...
I think so.
Thoughts and prayers going out to everybody.
We'll be back, sure. We'll be back Monday, Tuesday morning, to talk about... some of the things that are going on around the league that weren't in the cup final, as well as a little bit of dive into the draft. And then the week after will be an expansion draft. We'll do a full mock expansion draft, and that'll probably take up basically the entire show. But next couple weeks is going to be hard and fast. We got draft, expansion draft, and free agency all in the next 3 weeks here. Yeah. So.
For any of you fantasy hockey players out there, it's like probably the most exciting time of the year. All right. Peace out, boys.
I'll do it. We'll see you next week. Episode 30 coming up Monday, Tuesday. All right. See you, fellas.
See you, boys.